Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Amen. You may be seated. You know, I died for about 4 minutes and my heart just stopped. And they were worried that, the oxygen would be cut off to your brain. If anyone knows what that's like, and you know, you can be retarded in certain ways and so forth. But the good news was, I was talking to my wife and she put them at ease because she said, no, he's always been like that. That's normal for him, you know. So all good. People asked me, did you see anything? No, it was just pitch black. I should have come back and wrote a book. You know, I mean, who's going to say you lied? You know, no one can test you on it. I could have made some money, but I wasn't quick enough. Maybe the lack of oxygen, but... Hey, look, thanks, Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah. They're just great friends of ours, and I'm just honoured to be here tonight and to be able to preach the word to you. This whole year, the Lord spoke to me last year about harvest, about a season and a time of harvest for the church. And I know it's true because this is the worst year I've ever had pastoring. You know, it's like everything has come against us from left and right, whatever. But, you know, the word of God never fails. Amen. It always prevails and it always accomplishes that for which it's sent. And so I was looking at that and going through the scriptures, and I realized that, you know, some people believe salvation is the end goal. It's like you give your life to Jesus and, you've made it, you're in, that's it. And I love salvation. I remember, you know, after I gave my heart to the Lord at about age 25 and had a very rough life before that, but came to know Jesus, and it was just amazing. If you don't know him tonight, I encourage you, you know, don't wait. Because I turned to my wife and I said, Annie, why did we wait so long? Like, why did we wait? This is so good. This is so wonderful. Why were we hesitating? Why did we wait so long? So salvation is amazing. And I loved it when I came into the church and I learned how to be a father. I learned how to be a husband. You know, I learned how to be a man of God and through the word of God and through great mentors, you know, in my life all around me. You see, my parents were alcoholics. And they died that way. So I didn't have a clue how to be a father. I didn't have a clue how to be, you know, a man. I knew how to drink. That was basically all Dad could have taught me. But the reality was, when I came into the body of Christ, the most wonderful thing was I saw that people could build a life that was absolutely amazing. And the benefits now is I've got, you know, 3 children and 6 grandchildren, watching that generational blessing flow. I got to tell you, there's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. And amen. So, you know, the vision over our church has always been to get them saved and build them for eternity. And I love that vision. God spoke it to me 10 years ago. That vision. But, you know, as I'm reading through scriptures, I realize it goes just one step further. Because not only did the disciples experience a relationship with Jesus and they started to listen to his teaching, they started to, you know, build their lives around the yoke of the Messiah, you know, the teachings of Christ, but he also sent them out. And I don't know about you, the church in America, but in Australia, I think that's one area, as a pastor of 20 years, if I look back, you know, it's one area I haven't done well. Yes, we get them saved, and yes, we build them for eternity, strengthen their life, motivate them, build them. But not often have I personally, I confess to you tonight, made an absolute deliberate, you know, target to send the disciples out. And so I look in Scripture and I find that that's exactly what Jesus did. Turn over to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 in your Bibles. I'm going to read verse 7 to 13. It It says here in this passage of Scripture, then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Wow, what a powerful passage of Scripture. We see here that Jesus actually sent out his disciples with the authority. And wow, that would have been so exciting. I want to have a look at this tonight. If you're taking notes, I've got 4 points. If I can encourage you to take those down. The first thing they had to do when they were sent out was they had to be faith ready. Faith ready. In verse 8 and 9 there, it talks about he gave them these instructions. You know, to take nothing for the journey except the staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts. You know, wear sandals and not an extra shirt. In other words, position yourself at all times so you're free with the gospel. You're not encumbered. You're not overwhelmed by stuff and this and that and this. No, no, no. You've gone focus. It was like Jesus was saying to the disciples, boys, I'm not sending you on a vacation. And if you happen to see a needy person or someone who needs help, we'll just, you know, say a little prayer for them. No, it wasn't that. He was saying, no, I'm sending you out deliberately on a mission. I don't want you to get distracted with all this stuff in your life. I want you to be totally faith ready for every opportunity that's presented to you. Isn't that cool? That they weren't to be encumbered by the things of this world. They'll be free, ready to step out when the Holy Spirit moved. Incredibly powerful. The reality is, and you would know it as I do, that the more we add to our life, the more we're consumed. Is that true? You know, everything we own owns a piece of us. That's the way it is. I'm not saying don't have anything. All I'm saying is we need to calculate, you know, that we're not totally consumed by the things of this world, so that when God wants to move in our life, you know, for some of us, he would have to take a ticket, a number, or make an appointment, because we're so busy, we just don't have time, you know, for the Holy Ghost to move in our lives. I remember years ago when I was growing up, I wasn't a Christian, but I remember that Sunday, life was very simple, because Sundays, nothing, everything was shut down. Did that happen in America? Yeah. You know, everything was shut down. Everyone went to church because there was nothing else to do. And you know, who remembers the Sunday lunch? You know, the baked dinner. Mum used to bake a dinner, Sunday lunch, and families actually ate together and had a great time together as family. I remember that, even though my family was dysfunctional, we still had Sunday lunch. Time to gather together. It was a simple time. It was a time, you know, where we could share and so forth. But I think things are a little different these days, amen? You know, there's so much on. There's so much to do. And as Pastor Jim said, you know, thank you for coming tonight. You know, there's 1,000 places you could be, but you chose, you know, the house of God. And there's time for the word, and there's time for prayer, and the result is when we make that time, we're faith ready. We're faith ready. Timothy, in Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, he said, in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. This is charging him now. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. You know, be faith ready. Be faith ready. If we put the externals of life aside for the moment, what about our mind? How free is our mind of things and cares and stresses of this world, that if the Holy Spirit was to position us as a disciple of Christ to step out at that moment, would we take it up? Would we pick it up? Would we go, oh, yes, and take that step of faith? Because I tell you what, if we don't, number two, if you don't, you're going to miss God's appointments. As my second point tonight, that the God appointments, verse 10 shows us very clearly that whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. I guess it looked a little like this. The disciples would come to town and they would knock on doors. And it would sort of, you know, go like this. Hi, my name's Byron. God has sent me to your town. I'm to bring the gospel message and to work miracles. God has told me I've got to stay at your place for as long as I need to, and you're to give me a room and feed me and look after me. And you know what? There's two responses to that, isn't there? Now, the first one is, get off my porch, I'll call the sheriff. You know, I love to say sheriff because we don't have them in Australia. You know, like, sheriff, you know, get the sheriff, 911, you know, I don't know. And, you know, that's the first response. But imagine if you as a believer in prayer that morning, opening up your heart before the Lord, and God says, listen, today there'll be a knock on the door. That's my servant. And then I come along and I knock on the door and say, you know, hi, I'm Byron. You know, God's told me to come to this town and share the gospel. Come on in. The Lord's already spoken to me. That's a God appointment. Amen. I mean, it sounds ridiculous the other way, but if there was a God appointment, you know, we would walk straight into that miracle, straight into that opportunity that God has. I love that. I love it. The Jesus is our example in Revelation 3:20. He says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. We don't know who the Holy Spirit has been communing with. We don't know, but He does. And we don't know that at any opportunity, if we're faith ready, that there could be that knock. Jesus could have been knocking on their heart for a very long time. And we were positioned right at that moment to be that the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. You don't know the meals that you give that hungry person. You don't know this Thanksgiving, what's gone into that person's heart for months now. And at that point, with one meal, with one gesture of kindness and love towards the broken and the hurting, that if it's that moment that God has opened that door and that opportunity and they give their life to Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit knows. They were sent out and He prepared a way for them. I have a testimony of, I call them the German girls. In our church, we have a young girl on staff and she was in a park one day and she saw these this nanny. She was a German student that had come out to Australia and, you know, she was sort of, she was a nanny looking after a child in the park, you know. She was on sort of uni leave and you know, traveling the world and working away. And Georgia, one of our girls in the office, saw her and just gave her an invitation card and said, why don't you come to church? And just gave her that card. And you know, next Sunday, here's this girl. She's sitting about the second row right over there. And I'm preaching a message. Oh, it was a fantastic message, I've got to tell you. That's a side thing. And you know, I'm preaching this message at the end. You know, I give an altar call for people to give their life to Jesus. And this beautiful German girl, her name was Judith. And she just raised her hand. Come out and gave her heart to the Lord. Next week she bought another one. And it was Fania. Fania came with Judith. And you know, they come. And then the next week they bought a Swedish girl. We were breaking into the nanny industry. We had a nanny ministry. going right on. The International Nanny Ministry was breaking. It was a flower opening up to us. And it was amazing. And you know what? Fania's father came out to Australia. He was a businessman. He came out to Australia and he said to me, he saw the church and the girls got saved. Their lives were transformed. He said, please, he said, would you bring this church to Germany? He said, our young people need this. And next year, when my wife and I take our long service, we're actually going to go to Germany and maybe call into that place. But imagine the opportunity that the Holy Spirit already presented, because one person was faith ready and stepped in and took that opportunity. I've got to tell you, those girls, they were just transformed in a matter of weeks. Now they've gone back to Germany, most of them, and you know, to wherever they lived, and they've taken the gospel back there in an amazing way. Isn't that good? Why don't you give the Lord a hand for that? But there's something I have to help you with right now, and the third point tonight is that you've got to reject rejection. Reject rejection. Because in verse 11, Jesus teaches his disciples. He said, if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Because this is so powerful. I love the principle of shaking the dust off your feet. And we sung it tonight, didn't we? Moving forward. Moving forward. Because, you know, after a while, you know, mud sticks. And you've got enough mud stick on your life, it gets heavy after a while. Becomes a bit of a burden. I tell you what, there's something in God that says, shake it off and let's move forward. Let's clean it up. Let's start today. Let's shake the dust off our feet. You know that voice that keeps pulling you down every time. Shake it off. Shake the dust off. We're moving forward. We've got a destiny in God. Amen? We're moving forward. We're building the kingdom. We're rescuing humanity. Shake it off and move forward. Jesus was saying that not everybody is ready to receive the gospel. You know, you don't plant a seed on soil like this. It just, nothing will happen. It won't grow. And Mark tells us that in Mark 4:20, he said, others like seeds sown in good soil hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. And so we've got to understand that whenever we share the gospel, share a testimony, you know, love someone and tell them about Jesus, and they shut the door on that. We can't take that personally. It's not a rejection of you, it's a rejection of the word. Amen? And if we don't reject rejection, then that's going to feed our insecurity, and I tell you what, we'll never do it again. We'll back away and think, well, I did that once. That didn't work. That was a clanger. Do you say that in America? Obviously not. You know, it's like, well, I'm never going to do that again. I mean, I stepped out for Jesus and, you know, I caught one in the chin and, no. Shake it off. Shake the dust off. You know, there's a destiny. There's a future. We're moving forward. Amen? Shake it off. Don't let that hold you back. Don't let that rob you. You know, the statistics tell us that in the first year, when a person gets born again, falls in love with Jesus, the light comes on, we get it. We're alive again. There's a, you know, the Holy Spirit comes, brings us alive. You know, in that first 12 months, they say we tell 10 people about Jesus. Do you know, after that first year, we may tell one person in the next 10. Is that tragic? Same fire, same light, same revelation, same fruit of the Spirit. Yet we don't speak anymore. Why? Because we haven't rejected rejection. We've taken it personal. You know, a pastor, a friend of mine, was preaching a message about the strongholds of the heart. The strongholds of the heart. And you know, every time we agree with one of those negative strongholds in our heart, it gets stronger. But every time we shake the dust off, Every time we just shake the dust off and say, forget it, I'm moving forward. I'm knocking on the next door. I'm knocking on the next door. I'm knocking on the next door. You know what happens? That stronghold crumbles. And I become freer and stronger. Because it's really not about me anymore. We share our testimony with people and sometimes they reject it. You know what? That's okay. They're just not ready yet. You know, I remember telling, I had a wife in my office who was, her husband didn't know Jesus yet, and he was just being difficult about it. And I said, look, you know, you've got to cut the guy some slack because he doesn't see it. I said, it's like sitting on a couch watching the football with a blind person. And sitting there going, oh, did you see that pass? Did you see that tackle? Did you see that touchdown? And they're like, well, no, hello, I'm blind. You wouldn't get angry at that person. You wouldn't get angry at that person because they didn't see it because they're blind, would you? Then why do we get angry at people who have never got the revelation you have? See it for what it is. Shake the dust off. Don't be offended. Don't be affected by that. And understand that one day they will. One day they will. One day they'll see it. And it'll be powerful. Because the fourth point tonight is the most powerful. You don't want to miss out on this. It's the supernatural walk. Look at verse 13. It says, they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. In verse 12, it says that they went out and preached that people should repent. See, this is not a signs and wonders crusade. You know, this is not the healing evangelist coming to town and bring the sick and bring the needy and God will heal them. No, no, no. This is the disciples seeing the miraculous happen in the very streets they live. The very streets they live. They saw the miraculous because they were prepared to step out. They were faith ready. They saw God appointments. They weren't prepared to be held back by rejection. And they had the supernatural walk. He sent them and gave them authority. And when they went out, they saw the supernatural in the streets. Amen? I want that. Do you want that? You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, I love church. I'm a pastor. I live for church. Sunday's my big day. I love it. I love the people coming together, praising God, the family, the body of Christ, strengthened together. I love that. Worship, praise in the house, the anointing. When I was standing over there, when these guys were worshiping, and I was like, oh, I love that. But what happens when that friend of yours is broken and needy and it's a Tuesday? Or that young person you know that's threatening to commit suicide, but it's Wednesday. It's like, oh, wait, can you wait till Sunday? I'll take you to church Sunday. No, it may be too late Sunday. It's a good thing to do to bring them, but more better on the spot, walk in the supernatural of God. Start to reach out, start to speak in faith, start to destroy the voices that keep them bound and keep them broken. And we can do that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Amen? The reason for that is because we are the body of Christ. We are the disciples of Christ. We are the sent ones. We're the sent ones. Yes, we're the church and we're proud of that. We love that. That's amazing. But we're the ones that are sent out to see the supernatural in our daily lives. We are the body of Christ. The supernatural power of God is not dead. Amen? Amen? Supernatural power of God is not dead. It's just waiting for some hands and feet and a voice to proclaim it. Amen? Proclaim it. Who we are. We are the disciples of Christ. It's wonderful that we've received salvation. Amazing. It's wonderful that, you know, the Word and the Spirit is building us into the men and women of God that we need to be. But we are the sent ones that need to take what God has poured into our life and begin to see the supernatural in our everyday. Now, folks, I'm not talking about flaky stuff. We call them Fruit Loops in Australia. Do you have Fruit Loops here? You know, they scare me. Do they scare you? These Fruit Loops, I don't want to be unkind, but that's not what I'm talking about. You know, I was talking to a guy one day, and Jesus speaks to him so much, it's no wonder he doesn't talk to me. He's always talking to him. I said, could you just, you know, God told me this, and God told me that, and God told me this, and God told me that. I said, wait a minute, can you show, tell me something. Give me a turn. I'm not talking about flaky stuff. I'm talking about understanding that if you position yourself and you free your life ready for those opportunities, it's not going to happen every day, maybe. You know, but when it does, you're there. When it does, you're ready. You're not encumbered. You're not held back. You're not too busy. You're listening. You're ready. You know, your faith ready to take that God opportunity. You're not worried about the fear of man. Because when you walk in the supernatural of God, nothing compares to that. Amen? Nothing compares to that. I know about you, but I don't want to live a Christianity any other way. You know, I didn't save to become a churchian. I became a Christian. And I'm a sent one. And I have authority to go out and do what he's called me to do. And you know, so do you. I think one of the reasons that a lot of believers don't fully complete their mission is that they don't think they got permission to do that. Maybe no one's ever said, you know, look, this is part of the deal. You're required to do this. I want you to know tonight that if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, this is part of the deal. Yes, we embrace salvation and it's amazing. Yes, God is awesome with building our lives and strengthening our families and giving us, you know, just that connection and wisdom and all that that's in the Word of God. Amazing stuff. But we must be the sent ones as well. We must get up and go out there and make a difference. That's all part of the deal. Amen? It's the whole thing. It's not just part of it. It's the whole thing. And I tell you what, that's when your Christianity comes alive. But can I challenge you tonight? Can we just start with one life? Just with one life. I'd like you to close your eyes right now just for a moment. I want you to see that person in your mind's eye right now. There's one person in your world. It can be in the workplace. It can be on the sporting field. It can be in the college, the school, the university. Wherever you are, whatever your sphere of influence in is, there's a person. There's one life. One life. One life. And the Holy Spirit will put that face in your mind's eye because they're ready. They're ready. You know that. They may not look like it, but you don't know what goes in their mind when they lay their head on that pillow at night. You don't know what happens in that heart when no one else is watching and no one else is around. When it's public, there's a great bravado. But when they're alone, there's a great breaking. And Holy Spirit, come right now. Put that one life, that one life in our minds right now. Send us into that life with a message of salvation and freedom and deliverance and wholeness in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Will you pray for that person? Will you pray for that person? Will you not let that picture leave your mind? Within the next 12 months. You know, the reality is if everyone in this church just led one person to Jesus in 12 months, this church would double in size. It's not rocket science, it's very simple. Just one person a year in 12 months. Just one person, all of us, every believer, just one person. And if we did it the next year, you know, it'd double again. and there would be so many people finding Jesus that the newspapers would come and Charisma magazine would come and they'd interview your pastors and they'd say, what's going on? This must be revival. It's not revival, folks. It's just believers being believers. It's just believers in Jesus Christ doing what they're called to do. The sent ones. Amen? Amen? Why don't you give the Lord a hand? I'm going to ask Pastor to come.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.